And we're back. How was y'all's trick or treating?
It was raging.
Yeah, it was good. There's a street in Monticello that's like full candy bar street, you know?
Yeah, we got that too.
Yeah, so we went down that and racked up pretty good.
Yeah, we went to the big, we went to the downtown part of the village, and then we go to Viewmont is the nice place where it is bumping, where they have all the nice stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah, we went just over by our house is that golf course. That's where the Jimmy John guy used to live. And so we go over there.
Do they all give away candy out there?
Some of them, but a lot of the houses just turn their lights off. Yeah, and I was thinking, man, if your house is like over $1 million, you should just, no matter what, just do some kind of candy.
A bowl out.
Yeah.
Even if you don't want to answer the door.
Yeah, you got to do some kind of candy or something because, I mean, it's just... And some of them do really good, but I didn't put out candy this year. But for whatever reason, like exactly at my house and then going, I guess, north, nobody trick-or-treats there. Huh. If you go right out of my house, the whole neighborhood's open. I don't know why, because it's a nice street. It just is weird. But did y'all give out candy? Did anybody trick-or-treat out where y'all are?
A bowl out.
I left a bowl of edible THC out. It was gone when I got back.
It's totally gone.
Yeah.
I mean, we had to check our candy just to be safe, you know. We went through a haunted house with the lights on. So, from 5:30 to 7, they do a trick or treat haunted house. So they just leave the lights on. You can still get candy. So we went through it. With the lights on, obviously it's not scary, but you know, once it gets dark in there, I imagine there's a few little spots that'll get you. But it's funny because Remy wants to be carried because he says he's not scared, but he's scared. And then he won't make a single sound the whole time. He just looks.
Just looking around.
Never talks or anything. It's just funny.
Yeah.
I have an early memory of going to the haunted house that just, I mean, it was scary, scary.
Yeah.
Scary, scary. I mean, my parents shouldn't have taken me. But I mean, I might have been irrationally freaked out, but what does it matter? If you see something scary and it happens to you, what's the difference if it's a real guy with a chainsaw that's really going to kill you and one that's a goofy church guy, but you think he's a real person with a chainsaw that's going to kill you? What's the difference if you're 3 or 5 or whatever?
Nothing.
Zero.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. First time I went to a haunted house, I was so scared because they do the thing, you know, and then eventually got those like smoke machine air blower things, you know, and scare you too. But I can remember we went on a family trip to Gatlinburg, and there was almost like a Disney type haunted house there, right? Looked like it wasn't like super scary, but it was two stories, and so you went all the way through the first story, all the way up to the top. And at the top, there was a balcony, and I can just remember being a little kid, but it looked like just a little round, tiny balcony, just for one person, almost like a theater kind of balcony, round like that, you know. Mm-hmm. And my dad stepped out on it, and they had made it to where it dropped like half an inch.
Oh, that's awesome.
So you want to go,
you thought you were gone.
He leapt back, and then everybody's like, ah, you know, like everybody's scared collectively, and then everybody immediately understands what happened, and then, you know, dies laughing. But I was like, I wonder if that's still there. Like, that was, you know, the 80s. And they did, you know, they had a balcony that did drop some, and I was like, you know, it could scare somebody. They jump forward, you know. I guess they just assumed people would jump back. That's just your natural inclination. But I bet that couldn't even exist now, because I mean, it scared my dad just half to death. I mean,
seems like they're pretty intense these days. I mean,
yeah, you might.
I don't know about the drop, but you know, our friend Joseph Thompson. I think his in South Carolina, his is like real. I think it's like real intense.
It's big.
There's some now. I mean, I think you signed up. I remember. They couldn't really ever touch you before, remember when we went there? But now they have waivers. So you sign a waiver and they can grab you.
Oh, my God.
I mean, they obviously can't hurt you, but they can grab your arm or grab your leg, you know, that kind of stuff. I mean, that would...
People walking through have to throw punches, right? That has to happen kind of regularly.
Well, it has to happen sometimes.
Yeah, I mean just a reaction.
We should have Joseph on sometime to talk about it, because I have wanted to talk to him about the... Because, I mean, theirs has gotten pretty big.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just, like, they do planning early.
Yeah.
Like all year, I guess. I mean, but start really getting to it, like, by July or something like that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
He posted a video the other day of they had a Christian protester.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. So he just, I think they put out a boom box with heavy metal and just turned it on.
Christian protesting is going away, right? That one's
too.
Protesting, I think, in general is increasing, but Christians protesting, like, you know, with the signs, you know, I mean, maybe with abortion, but in general, like picketing a haunted house. Right. I mean, just.
There's less of that. But those street preachers, that's not going away ever. Ever.
No, yeah, I guess you're
and
right.
And I'll tell you why it's not. Because I saw it at Disneyland. There's a guy at the entrance to Disneyland when I was there. And, I mean, it is so intense. I loved it. It was it really freaked me out. Because he's out there, like, it's people going into Disneyland. He's got a thing. And, I mean, he is going off so hard. Like, so hard. He's so into it. He's got the speaker, and nobody can do anything to him, I guess, because it's free speech or something, you know. They don't run him out of there. And he does, like, every day he's there for a certain amount of hours. And, I mean, he is just ripping people, telling them, like, you laugh now, but you will be burning in hell. And he's just telling people exactly. And it's scary. I mean, he's just, like, he is so into it that, like, there's no way he doesn't feel like he loves doing it. Like, once you get over the fact that it's uncomfortable, I mean, you know that he just feels like he, by the time he's done, he's put in 3 hours there, he must feel like he has really done something. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
because the fact that it makes people uncomfortable, and everybody that goes by kind of like laughs, and they're like, and they have to just like deal with it. But he's saying stuff to them that, you know, they hear it and go, I don't think that's right. But what if it is, like, he's just like, you have to, every single
confidence
person that goes by,
everything.
Yeah, every single person that goes by has to go, well, but he's stupid, because they have to justify it somehow. Like, it affects every single person, and it's totally impossible to ignore, but you have to try to ignore it and try to pretend like it's nothing, or you got to make a joke or whatever. But it's just, I mean, like, once you get into doing that, and then it's like, what if you make eye contact? Like, it's horrifying. But I mean, like, I just... You know, I wanted to, like, watch and listen. Like, I'm drawn to it. But it's like, well, if he sees me, I'm in this, oh, my gosh.
It's funny, too, because it's all families. They're so happy. They're just so happy about to be in the happiest place on earth.
And he's just ripping
And he's just giving them the worst.
Tearing them up.
Terrible news they could ever hear.
Like, if you could get into that, wouldn't it be so fucking
fun? I mean, the
fun?
Kids are skipping.
Yeah.
Like, he thinks the more he upsets anybody, the more righteous he is to God's own eyes.
Yeah.
How do you get rid of that? Because that, you know, that happens everywhere all the time, because it's fucking awesome.
It's insane.
I mean, if you're the one doing it, you feel like $1 million doing that.
What would you...
I mean, protesting must feel good, is what I'm saying. Like, even if you get the thing, you're like, we're fucking doing something. Like, you feel in it.
Okay, I say I'm going to give you guys $1 million, but you have to pick one of these two things to do. These are your only two options.
Okay.
You either have to skydive from 50, whatever. Let's say... What do they do, 10,000, 15,000 feet, something like that?
Yeah.
Or you have to go in the middle of Times Square and evangelize for 3 hours with a megaphone.
I guess I'd have to do the megaphone. I'd be too scared to
ever skydive. Actually couldn't do the skydiving?
Yeah, the skydiving, I just can't. I think I'd die. If I jumped out, I think my heart would stop. I think I would actually die. I'm not joking. I really believe I would die.
Matt, what would you do?
I mean... That's a pretty tough call. Like, because
it would almost be harder for, I think it'd be harder if you were like at a, pro choice rally.
Yeah.
And you were doing it there. I mean, so, you know what I mean? Like this, could, like where people,
Times Square, you could probably
you could zone people, like people's faces out.
Yeah.
And just yell. That would be easier. But it'd be
hard. But you probably half ass it, you know.
You start so nervous.
Oh, the start, that would be, both would be very hard to start, and both might be very fun once you were in underway, is what I'm saying. You would have started, go, I can't, but either one, when you did, you'd be like, this is so fun.
The same amount of adrenaline.
Yeah, yeah, I was like, oh my gosh.
That's the way I felt when I saw, what was the Die Hard with Samuel Jackson, you know?
With a Vengeance.
I think it was Die Hard. Yeah, I think it was Die Hard 3, I believe. I'm pretty sure it's 3. And that's the one where the bad guy's making Bruce Willis do all the different things. Yeah. So he has to figure this out, solve a riddle. And then he makes him stand on the street in like Harlem
and
or like
yell
like
the N-word
and
or something.
No, it has a sign that says the N-word on it. And you're like, oh my God, he is like, it felt like he is, something bad is going down. It was so bad and awful that it felt like when I was watching the movie, I was like, oh no.
Okay. Yeah.
No, so, I felt uncomfortable and awkward and scared and everything.
So that's a better one. You had to skydive or yell the N-word 452 times in Times Square.
Oh my God.
You'd of course pick skydive.
I would skydive.
Of course.
I would skydive.
But no matter what, nobody's going to kill you. Like, you have security. Like, you have security.
But still, I'd skydive.
But you had to do it.
Yeah.
You would skydive then.
Every person on every social media platform would go, you could have skydived? You could have just skydived?
There's nothing I could do. They said I had to do it. I had to. I didn't have a choice. Wait, but you could have chosen skydiving, right?
Skydive.
Well, yeah, skydive. But I mean, I'm scared of skydiving.
Yeah, but I'm scared.
What are you talking about?
You're not scared? It's just really scary.
Think about if you're standing in the middle of Times Square with a megaphone, and you, right when you start.
You couldn't do it.
You see... 100 cell phones.
Yeah,
you
turn
in your direction, and you're like, "Oh no,
no!"
Yeah, you couldn't do it. You would definitely.
That's
skydive.
I mean, that's the.
It would be like the number one world news.
You might choose to do it one time before anybody get their phones out or like whatever,
what
and you could deal with it like for like 30 seconds or something like
and
that.
Kind of
like,
hide,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
kind of
maybe. Yeah.
Oh my God.
that's a good one.
When y'all were little, did y'all do, we were talking about haunted houses, did y'all do the Hell House? Y'all did that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Where they I never went to one.
Matt went to a non-Christian church.
Constantly telling me he was going to hell,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, I mean, my parents did not like it when the teachers, I mean, teachers at school would tell you about Revelation. Yeah. I would come home and ask my parents. So it's like, I don't think teachers are supposed to tell you that, by the way, at public school. But my parents were like, I don't think so. It was like they didn't like that.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah. Oh man, the Hell Houses were crazy.
They were scary. I remember going, I think I went to two, and it literally was like a scene where you go in and first of all it's like everything's supposed to be normal and nice, and then something bad happens. Mine was like a storyline, the one I remember.
Yeah,
I don't remember the other
mine
one.
Too.
It was like a storyline. It was like a guy, and then he's supposed to be falling in love, but I think he like did alcohol or drugs or something. And then he did, and then he's driving home or something. I think they even had like a car in the gymnasium or whatever that ran over somebody. And then the end of it is he's going to hell, and they're pulling him through like this fake cave. You know, there's just doors, but it's like got red and black and all this stuff over it. And they pull him in. And he's screaming, and then all the lights shut off, and then all the lights turn on. And then they sit you down for 9 minutes and tell you that you have to believe in Jesus Christ, that he died for you, or what you witnessed can become true. And you're 9. You're 9. And
that's awful.
I mean,
that is just awful.
I know. Like, I mean, imagine if I did that to my kids about their grades. You know, like, I ran them through all that, but it's the grades. I would go to jail.
Think about a 9-year-old's mind.
Yeah.
They can't even comprehend what that even means. Like, they can't even comprehend what that even means.
Right.
Like, they're not thinking about death.
I know.
That's the last thing on their mind is death. They just think, I have a lot of life left.
Yeah.
And so when you throw something like that in and then the afterlife and all that, it's not even you can't understand what you're doing. There is no understanding what you're doing if you go into the room and make say the prayer.
Yeah, like you, you go to a normal haunted house and you at least know, well, that's just actors and that's just, you know, okay. That was kind of, you know, this one they say is a documentary. It's real. Yeah. It is real. It's not a haunted house. It's a true story that we are telling you is going to happen if you don't agree to what we're about to say, you know, and that's wild.
I mean, I guarantee there's still probably I bet you could find a couple.
Oh, yeah.
In the South.
Yeah. 100%.
It's crazy.
We didn't get to it with the podcast. Did y'all enjoy that podcast with
that was fun.
Him and Nate?
Oh, yeah.
That was fun, wasn't it? Yeah, they're fun. All those guys, it's wild how many friends. And it's weird, too, that we've become such good friends with Under Oath because we hadn't really toured with them that much. I mean, we played fests and stuff, you know, and saw them here and there. But, I mean, we only did one tour with them. And that was just
Australia.
That short. Oh, yeah, and Australia as well. That's true.
We did a whole Warped Tour, Australia.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But
I guess you're right. With them and.
Totally wrong.
It feels like that was a long time ago, you know, all that stuff. So.
Yeah. I always forget being on tour with them in Australia. Like, that whole tour, for whatever reason, I think I almost just forgot it. Like,
that was an interesting one. It was good. But then we did Motion City Soundtrack for part of it or something.
Right after, right?
A run.
Yeah. They were on
I think that was the show. Let me think about it for a second. Aaron Gillespie told us one time that was the show that he quit Under Oath.
One of those
Australia shows.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
He said they were in the alleyway. And I remember him and Tim were talking. And it was kind of an intense conversation. But something happened that night that was really significant. But I don't remember if that was it or not. But anyway, it just reminded me of that.
Yeah, I remember walking by them and they were in that conversation. I mean, we were.
And I remember Gillespie later told us that's when something happened. And I can't remember if that was him quitting or what. But anyway.
That's wild. But we didn't get to it on the podcast, so I got a couple of newses if y'all want to listen.
News me.
Y'all want to listen?
News me.
Okay. Well, it's interesting. Here in Champaign, they just caught a nurse, and while the person was did you hear about this? Megan probably knows about
it. Something about it.
And it's like when the person was under with anesthesia, he was taking pictures of like them naked. And he's a traveling nurse. So he might have done this a bunch, like serial, potentially. You know what I mean? Like, to be that brazen. I don't know how he got caught. I haven't heard about that yet, but I was like, whoa. And I was just thinking how much medical malpractice like that probably has happened that people don't know about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and just, that's so crazy. Like, I'm talking about forever, too, because, I mean, it had to be just all kinds of crazy stuff happened when you were trying to go to the doctor to get healthy.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, in history, I bet it's unreal if you actually knew what it was. But this first article is Huffington Post. Michigan home inspector convicted after. What do y'all think? Y'all want to take a guess? Michigan home inspector convicted after.
After.
After what? Why was it? What was he convicted?
Home inspector?
Yeah, what did he do? He was convicted
I would say theft.
Theft? That's a good guess. Matt, what's your guess?
Matt,
do you hear us? I don't think he hears us.
Oh, he doesn't hear us.
You don't hear us? We've been talking to you. You don't hear us?
He lost something.
Sorry, Matt.
What happened?
Then my headphone went out, so I didn't hear anything. I heard what the nurse was doing, but I didn't hear.
What did we say?
Keep on.
Okay. We're talking about the nurse. Oh, sorry. I was getting into the article. The article is Michigan home inspector convicted of what? And Devin said theft. And I'm asking you, can you guess what this Michigan home inspector was convicted of?
Let me try to guess.
And his name is Kevin Wayne Van Leuven.
Is the name a clue?
Van Leuven.
No, I guess.
Okay,
not.
So
theft is the obvious one, but I mean, it's probably
a home inspector.
You can think outside the box. I would say think outside the box.
Yeah, it's got to be something funny.
Yeah.
A home inspector. Michigan's not a clue. There's no clues. This is just
clues.
Funny home inspector crime is the clue.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Kevin Wayne Van Leeuwen was found guilty of aggravated indecent. And I'll leave that. I'm not going to say the next word, but you might can intuit it. So what do you think he did?
Aggravated indecent proposals.
Okay. Yeah.
I almost said proposals.
He was, yeah.
Exposure.
Demi Moore lives
it in could me. Be aggravated assault, though.
Okay.
But it's exposure, I imagine.
Yeah.
Masturbating with client's Elmo doll.
There we go.
Masturbating.
And if you can see a picture of this guy, it is hilarious. He looks like BJ, our bus driver.
Why do you use Elmo doll? He doesn't say.
Kevin Wayne, let's see. A security camera showed him masturbating with a Tickle Me Elmo doll in the client's home. Van Leeuwen of Clarkston, Michigan, was convicted Wednesday during a one-day trial, but acquitted on another charge, malicious destruction of property. That's malicious. They were like,
that's funny.
They were like, what else can we get him on? Well, that Elmo doll's ruined. And that looks malicious to me, what he did to that thing.
Yeah, you got to stack it up.
Oh, let's see here. So Van Leeuwen was arrested while doing a home inspection. So he was in somebody else's home. That person might have got lucky. He was in one of the client's bedrooms when Jada Dawson, one of the homeowners, got a notification that someone was in the nursery. When Dawson pulled up the webcam alert, she saw Van Leeuwen masturbating before picking up an Elmo doll off the floor and appeared to pleasure himself with the doll. I just went blank at the time, she said. My husband was staring at me from across the room and was like, what's wrong? He asked me repeatedly, and I couldn't even articulate what I was seeing.
I don't know that I report that to the law.
Would you
What
not?
Do you mean?
If you saw some stranger in your house.
I'm not saying I would do nothing. I'm just saying
hold
I don't
on,
know.
Hold on. Let me read this thing. Let me read one more paragraph. The responding Van Leeuwen was still inspecting the house when Oakland County investigators arrived at the scene. He claimed that he had just moved the doll to inspect an electrical outlet, but confessed after learning about the camera in the nursery. So first he's like, oh, man, I wasn't doing that. I was just moving the doll around. Then he had to, he said the responding officer, then he spilled the beans and he wouldn't shut up, I guess. The responding officer also reported that Van Leeuwen admitted to placing his penis in Elmo's mouth. He apologized and said he was ashamed.
You
think he was just a fairly normal guy that just did something crazy?
I mean, I guess because those guys work for themselves. Like, you know, you would report him to his.
Yeah.
I would think, let's not say anything. Let's just, like, go away and let him leave, and then we'll tell his boss or whatever.
Well, they didn't tell him. The cops just showed up.
Well, they called the police immediately, though.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if I would have done, is what I'm saying. I'm trying to figure if I would be like,
I mean, I could be
like, I'm calling the police. I was like, do we really want to do it? I mean, then
what's wrong with calling the police, though?
Just have to go through all that.
Yeah, but I mean, I think.
I mean, he's going to, he'll be done in a minute and just let's go. Let's just get out of here.
No, but you don't feel.
We'll report it.
You cannot feel good knowing he got fired. I mean, of course he's getting fired no matter what. I mean, he's got to be a little bit more retribution than that.
I mean, Bridget calls the police all the time for anything, and I just don't ever want to. That's just the way. I'm just saying that's how we usually.
Wait a second. Your wife calls the police regularly?
Yeah.
Like for what?
Since you scared a man.
Yeah, well, just like if I raise my voice and stuff like that. No, she calls the police.
She grabs the kids and
blocks herself. Bridget's what you want to say is she's what you call a concerned citizen.
Oh, yeah.
So
neighborhood like a suspicious watch. Car
she
drives,
says anything. I mean, she'll call 911 if it's something, if anything. She would see driving down the road. Because she says... She said, I'm going to call 911. She loves to call 911. She likes to because she's doing like some duty in her mind.
They know her voice when she calls.
Yeah. It's like, hey,
what
Bridget.
Is it this time?
Yeah,
Bridget?
No, we saw. Yeah, we, yeah.
Hey,
no.
Bridget.
Stalled car. Okay. You know, got it. But it's like she says that.
Keeping that neighborhood safe.
That you have to report stuff because then there's a paper trail. If something else happens, you will have been, it would, then you'll be helping anything that could be worse or could be something, there's the first report, and then there's the next thing that might happen, and then there'll already have been the first report or alert, you know, something like that. But she, I mean, you know, it's your basic tattletale. You know, she could be a, like, if she had another job, it could be like parking meter. Like, you understand Bridget would be a good parking meter enforcement,
oh,
right?
Oh, she'd be great.
Like, you she'd did wrong, you will pay.
Yeah.
You do wrong, vengeance you pay.
She'd love so, the uniform, too.
She has a high sense of what you call, you know, yeah, no, just, but it's like a high sense
she'd
of justice.
So tough.
Yeah. It's like you, it's no sympathy. And I
yellow line
want everybody who's in jail for any crime to be let out. That's why I just don't want anybody to go to jail.
Yeah, I don't want anybody to go to jail.
I don't want anybody to go to jail. That's the way I feel about everything. I mean, I know some people should, but
right.
Just I hope they don't have to go, usually. I don't know.
I can't remember the last time I called 911. I think I called 911. When some carbon monoxide detector kept going off, and I think I called the like power company or something first, just because I was like, I don't know. And then they said, no, you got to call 911, report it to the fire department. I was like, okay. So then they
that's weird.
Inspected. Yeah, I know. So, but that was probably the, I don't know. I don't remember anything else. Toby, yeah, you call 911?
I don't think I ever have called 911.
Yeah, ever. I don't get involved.
There's not been a time. I've never dialed those digits. Yeah. Did you have to pay for that or anything? Was that,
they no, don't, it? No, fortunately.
I think yeah, sometimes they
one
get
time
weird
on vacation
that.
For some reason and one time here, I think. Yeah. But I was just like, sorry. I don't know.
I thought this next one would have been good on the main show, but y'all might still think it's, I don't know. Man slices through apples while bouncing on a pogo stick for the world record. So basically, this one caught my attention because I realized that we live in a day and age where world records don't mean anything. And anybody can have one, just like a million followers on TikTok or something. Like, there is no... I think there was something kind of special about, like, Hollywood back in the day, where the actors are set apart and they're special, and it made you excited to see them on the big screen because they were something mm-hmm. that you know. But now anybody, I mean, it was crazy. I watched that Jake Paul fight, and I was like, and they were just talking about, they're just two brothers from Ohio, and now they are unbelievably influential. Mr. Beast, we were talking about him. Like, I mean, anybody
watch,
now.
That's what I'm saying. That's the people I mean? To watch which for the next 40 years.
It sounds like I'm complaining about it. I think that's amazing. I'm not shitting on this. I'm so happy it's becoming this way. Everybody has a chance at real influence and power and money. Your dreams can come true more now than they ever could. But nothing is set apart anymore. Like, everything, there's not something golden that you go, whoa, that's really cool. It's going to be harder and harder. Everybody's going to become more like me, that when they go to the Biltmore house or something, they just, oh, yeah, you know, like my dad said. They got an expensive vase. We got a vase right here. Look at it, you know. And that's what my dad thinks. I think it's becoming like that. Like, this guy... I mean, he did a pogo stick, and it was a real, and I think he beat another record, but he did 56 apples on a pogo stick. It's 56, chopped them in half, and I was like, man, this is just crazy, because he has a news article written about him that I'm reading on a podcast. You know what I mean? Like, it means nothing. He's nobody. I'm going to forget it, but everybody can have a world record now. Like, it makes me think, I don't know what world record I'd like.
Dude Perfect does a lot of that. They do like odd world records. So yeah. You know, just pick like weird stuff.
I wonder,
like,
can
that.
You just come up? Yeah, can you just come up? I mean, should we try to
just
break
look
this
up
one?
Something.
You think you could break this, Devin? You think you can do 57?
On what?
A pogo stick while somebody throws apples at you, chop them in half.
No. No chance.
There's got to be some world records you could get, but you had to make up weird combinations. If you're doing,
it had to be something I was good at that was weird.
Yeah, and you're doing combinations now, right? Yeah. So it's like that pogo stick plus apple chopping. So, like, not just straight pogoing.
What do you think you could do the most of? What's something you can do the most, you think, more than most people? Like,
okay.
Not push-ups.
First of all,
like,
I can pee for 3 minutes straight. So that's not a world record, but if you could combine that with something, that puts me in more rare air. So I've peed for 3 minutes before, and I've held my breath for 3 minutes before. So those are two things that I Mm-hmm. Neither one of them is near our world record, but they would give me a foundation to find something else.
What do you think the longest record was for peeing?
Maybe 7 minutes. I don't know. Maybe it's 18 minutes, actually. Wow. Something crazy. But, I mean, that's hard. I mean, I don't know.
18 minutes?
I'm just making that up because I don't know how they do that.
Well,
measure it.
I don't. This can't
it could be
true,
somebody with just a weird deformity.
It says
that has
36 minutes and 24 seconds. Yeah. But this is just a post.
Halfway there.
This other post says it was 508 seconds.
Yeah, the depends on how it's measured. But I mean, I've got mine on video, so whatever.
I know. But what's 508 seconds? That's 60 seconds every minute. So that's longer than a.
It's not 10 minutes.
Yeah,
it's
8 minutes.
8 or 9 minutes. So I mean,
8 something.
I wonder what the stream quality of that was. That's what
you
I
would,
need to
know. You would have a
I
light
think you would
stream,
actually,
but sustained.
Don't you think you might? Okay, what if you got a bad prostate and it takes you way longer to pee, but you have still a stream, but it's not as strong as yours. That person can pee longer than you. Right. So is it age requirement? Like, do you have to have, like, you know, boxing, you got to do weight limits? Do you have to do age limits and stuff for the longest pee?
Mm. I don't know. There's probably rules.
I mean,
like,
everything's
a
world record if you
pee.
If you describe it properly, everything's a world record. Because, do you know what I'm saying? I'm the only person named Matt that's ever done a podcast on November 1st with you three for 90 minutes. You know, it's like you describe anything delicately enough, and everything's a one-off. If you
Guinness Book of World Records says it is 508 seconds. So, do you think you can, if you work hard, do you think you can get up to that? Do you think you could beat that, Matt?
I don't see why not.
It takes
but, I mean, training. You know, if you combine that Eagle. With something else somehow. I'm just saying the guy was on a pogo stick and chopping apples. Okay, maybe. But who's done it the most while chopping oranges?
Right.
I mean, maybe you just got to find something you can. You got to find something you can exploit just to say you have a. And Guinness certified. So you have to find a loophole or something that's not done that you have a unique advantage in and then could train the rest of the way there. That's people looking for records or doing something like that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's about 8.5 minutes. That is so wild. I'd love to know the stream quality of that. That's the only thing there.
But I would probably more base it on breath holding plus something. It's a fun one. Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Yeah, breath holding. Wild. And you can increase your breath holding dramatically. Yeah. Like, I mean, that you can do, like, if you do the
pee one, I feel that it can't be good to do the training for. It just doesn't feel like that could be good.
Yeah.
But breath holding, you don't feel like you're hurting yourself, but to train that and then do something else.
That's what's so funny about Wim Hof. He does the breathing and the cold, and that's his whole thing.
And swim under the ice for a distance. Yeah. He has the world record of that. Like, that's an awesome one. That's a real one because that's real, real stuff for, like, survival-like real stuff.
Right.
So that's big time.
That's cool.
But some of them are cheesy.
Yeah, some of them are, but that's the way he is.
I used to love getting the little Guinness Book of World Records, you know, the little one.
Yeah.
It was like a smaller book and flip through that sucker. There was a lot in there.
Yeah. I think I went to the Guinness Book of World Records in Gatlinburg. Remember they had the... I'm sorry.
You think of Ripley's.
Believe it or not. Yeah, Ripley's Believe It or Not, which is pretty similar.
I always thought Ripley's Believe It or Not is lame because it's like, believe it or not. It's just maybe it's true.
Yeah.
But still.
That's pretty cool. That was a TV show. I watched it when I was
young. I did too.
It was good. Like, I'd watch it and go, whoa, oh my God. How crazy is it? We had three channels. It's three channels. I mean, I was growing up, I had three channels, no remote control. And, you know, the phone was just nothing hanging on the wall. And just, I mean, it's just
you
crazy.
You could sell tickets to The Bearded Lady.
Yeah.
I think about how that was like, oh, we got to pay to see that.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
No. Now you can
if you really think hard, can you remember? I mean, just think about that phone on the wall. You just mentioned that. And just that sucker ringing through so loud throughout the house. And that'll be so many times a day. You know what I mean? Yeah. That whole era. I mean, that.
Yeah.
The last time that happened, I guess, was college.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah. We had a phone ringing in college.
20 years ago?
It's crazy, too, because if that phone rang after, like, 11 p.m., the whole house was like, uh-oh, something's wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, nobody called you. Everybody just, that out of respect, no one called you late. Isn't that wild? Like, people were like, eh, it's late. I'll call them tomorrow or something. Like, people actually really did. You know, now you can text and your phone does. I mean, you know, you put it on do not disturb.
Well, I remember sometimes, like, if your, I guess, a girlfriend or something would call, and they were going to, because they said, I'm going to call late at 10 or something. I did this a few times, and you would pick it up on the first ring.
Yeah.
Like, it would ring fast and pick it up.
Yeah.
Bing! I remember trying to do that.
People would listen in. One of my girlfriend's moms listened into our call because, you know, all the phones in the house are connected.
Yeah, my mom's line. A big spy.
You hold the button down and pick it up.
She was listening to us and told her to break up with me because we had gotten into an argument. I was like, whoa.
That's crazy.
Crazy. Yeah, it is crazy. All right, I got one more news story for you from the Mirror. I like the site. This is just about my fears. Because I actually have this a fear, not this fear. I gave birth at 36,000 feet. Four Hero passengers fled to my side to help deliver my baby. So Kendra Roden had to give birth to her son, Skylin, at the back of a plane after her water broke mid-air at 32 weeks. She was on her way to the Dominican Republic for her mom's birthday with her sister, and her water broke mid-journey. That's crazy. But four passengers hopped up and helped her have the baby. These four people, the cabin crew, and I guess the cabin crew as well, were such a big help, and they had to help deliver the baby. But I was like, man, that's like my big fear, that something medical will happen on a plane. And, you know, there's nothing anybody can do. It's just like, at that moment, the pilot can't start flying faster to get you. You know, like, if you got to... If you have to poop in the car, you hit the gas, you go a little bit faster, you can increase your speed to get home. But a medical issue on a plane, there's nothing. So, like, you have, and I guess that happens not that much, because you would think you would hear it more.
I mean,
but like,
they could
do
an emergency landing. You know what I mean? It would cut the time a little bit.
There's probably nowhere you could get on the ground in 30 minutes.
But still, that's a long time.
I mean, crossing the ocean, that's not true. But I mean, you're domestic.
Right. Yeah, I guess you're right. 30 minutes to an hour, you probably could land anywhere.
Got to land in
Wichita. But that's what I'm saying. But what if it's not like, you know, like, what if they're like, you're stabilized, and then they just keep going, and you're just laying on the floor, you know, your shirt's riding up, your belly's kind of hanging out a little bit. They're trying to get the beverage cart around you.
So, we're going to make an emergency landing on this one? I don't think we have to. Well, his belly's hanging out. Okay. Go to Boise.
Deal with that.
Divert to Boise.
He must not work out.
No, I do. Dude, just please.
Now we know the truth of the fear.
Please.
Now we know the root of the fear.
The root of the fear.
Is not.
Dying.
It is not that there's no escape, that you can't get to a doctor in time or you won't survive. It's that. Right. Your shirt
could be up.
Might barely
will
go
be
up when you're
it
your shirt
will be up. It will be up. And
you can't get
and
it
this
down
is
or something.
I'm laying on the floor, and y'all are looking at me, and I see your eyes go to my belly. You will, of course, there, and you know there is no way. Yeah, you try to look everywhere but my belly.
Yeah, I think we're going to be
left, dark, right. Look at all.
We're probably going to be.
But it just keeps drawing you in, and then I feel Devin's fingers reach over and pull my shirt down.
I would do that for you.
I know Devin would have to. You would have to. But that, y'all don't have any fear like that? Like, I know that's kind of irrational, but what I'm saying is that must not happen that much. Like, you don't hear about heart attacks even or much going on a plane, so I don't know if that's just because they hide it well, you know, or it doesn't get advertised as much, or maybe it doesn't happen that much. I guess people don't get, I know people throw up on planes.
Stuff's got to happen on planes because people are on them so much, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, the percentage of stuff, it has to happen, but yeah, you don't hear much about them.
And you don't ever really hear about I don't know if they tell you anyway, if like something's wrong with a pilot or something, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Anyway. All right, folks.
It's about that time. It's
been another good podcast. Man, this was a good one. This was fun. Part two was good and the main was good. So we love you guys. We'll tell you all about the cruise next time.